Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Truly, we thank God for another privilege and opportunity to gather in His name. Let's say good morning to the saints here in the house of God and also to those who are listening online. We thank God for all that He has done for us. Truly, it's been a blessed morning. Amen. In the Lord, and thank Him for allowing us to rise. A little rainy out when we first started, but thank God, it looked like the sun's trying to peek through. So we thank God for that. Let us have a brief word of prayer before we begin our service for the Lord. We always want to acknowledge God in all of our ways, for Him to direct our paths. We always want to make sure that we do things in decency and in order. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, truly we look once again to Thee this morning, thanking You for all that You have done for us and all that Thou art doing and going to do on our behalf. We thank You for another privilege and opportunity to gather in Your name this morning. We thank You, Lord God, for the saints of God who are here in the house of God and those that are online, dear Father. We want to thank You and praise You and honor Your name this day. We thank You, Lord God, for looking out and seeing Sister Holmes, and thank You for blessing her, dear Father. Thank You for the strength and well-being and health that You give unto her, Lord, each and every day to continue to run this race that You have set before. Father, we ask that Thou would continue to look down upon her with favor. Continue to be her guide and her direction and the strength she so desperately stands in need of. And we know that Sister Holmes will give You all the praise and glory and honor. Father, we thank You likewise for Sister Carol, dear Father, being in our midst. We thank You, Lord God, for all that You've done for this dear sister. We thank You for her beautiful smile, dear Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord God, for her words of encouragement and her words, Lord God, of comfort. Her words, Lord God, that shows us, dear Father, that You are in control and still taking care of Your people, dear Father. Even in her adversity, dear Lord, she was still praising Your most precious and holy name. And for this, we want to say thank You. And we ask that You would continue to bless her. Be with her in her home. Watch over, protect her, keep her safe, dear Heavenly Father, we pray. And as she drives over the highways, we ask in the name of Jesus that You would continue to be her guide and her direction, dear Lord. Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for Sister Regina being here likewise and ask Your continued blessings upon her. Thank You, dear Lord, for how You have looked down upon her, dear Lord, and blessed her in her eyes, dear Father. I looked over and I saw her looking at her Sunday school lesson, dear Heavenly Father. And for this, we want to say thank You, Lord God, that You have given her some sight to be able to see, dear Heavenly Father. We know for a time period there it was a little bleak, dear Lord, but we thank You, Lord God, that You have blessed this dear sister, Lord God, and ask that You would continue to look in upon her, remember in her home, dear Father, her community where she lives, dear Father. We ask that You would bless, be with her, Lord God. Likewise, remember her daughter, Lord God, Debbie. Remember her grands and great-grand, dear Father, in a special way, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that You speak to their hearts, dear Heavenly Father. I ask that You would let them know that You are God, and beside You there is none other. Father, we just ask that You would continue to bless Sister Regina. We know, Lord God, oftentimes she will put in a request for Brother Darnell, dear Father, and we ask in the name of Jesus that likewise You would remember him, dear Father, in a special way, Lord God, that You would bless him in his body, spirit, mind, and soul. Father, we ask this morning that You would continue to remember all the saints of God. Remember those who may be still on their way, Lord God. We ask a special prayer and blessing upon Sister Lillian. We don't see her as of yet, but Lord, we just ask that You would bless and bring her along safely if she's on her way, dear Father. We know sometimes, Lord God, even when it's raining, Lord, it's a little difficult for her, dear Father, to get ready to be here, dear Lord. But we thank You, Lord God, when we see her come in, and we know that she has pressed her way, dear Father. Thank You, Lord God, for her sweet, quiet spirit, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, she's one of the most quieter ones here in the house of God, dear Heavenly Father, but we heard of the work that she's doing in her neighborhood, Lord God, and so we thank You for that and ask that You would bless her in her endeavors, dear Father. Watch over in her home, dear Father. Keep her safe, dear Heavenly Father. We know, Lord God, that she has had a couple falls in her home, dear Father, so we ask, dear Father, that You would bless and be with her, dear Father, in a mighty way, dear Lord. Father, we thank You for Brother Mann, dear Father. We ask a special prayer upon him. Thank You for his family, caring for him. Thank You for his son, Joe, Lord God, whom he's staying with right now, dear Father. We ask in the name of Jesus that You would bless them, dear Father, and be with him, dear Father. Lord, we thank You for the beautiful smile on his face, Lord God, just to be among the saints of God, dear Father. We ask, oh Lord, that You would continue to bless him, Lord God, not forgetting his companion, Sister Mann, in a special way, Lord God, that we pray that You're looking upon her, dear Father, touch her and heal her in her body, dear Father, if it be Your will. Father, we ask a special prayer likewise for Sister Fluellen, dear Father. We ask that you would continue to bless her. Help us, Lord, to be able to get out to see her, dear Father. Help us, Lord God, to continue, Lord, to lift her up to you, Lord God, and bless her in her body. Many of us have been praying that you would continue to keep her, Lord God, in her mind, dear Heavenly Father. We know she knew about you, dear Heavenly Father, before she went in that place, dear Father. But we know, dear Father, you're able to do all things but fail us. So in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would bless Sister Fluellen in a mighty way. Father, we thank you, dear Father, for all our brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't want to forget anyone, but we thank you for each and every one that's under the sound of my voice, dear Father. Thank you for all that are in the house of the Lord this morning, dear Father. And ask that you would continue to bless, dear Father. Continue to look down upon each and every one with favor. Remember those who are online, dear Heavenly Father, unable to get out. Lord. We ask a special prayer and blessing upon Brother Bill down in Atlanta, dear Father. Thank you, Lord God. Every now and then, he'll send back a text and ask, how are we doing, dear Father? So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would continue to look in upon our dear brother there. Remember Sister Sanders and her family in Florida, dear Father. We thank you for her. Thank you, Lord God, for her words of encouragement. Every now and then, we receive a card from her letting us know, dear Father, she's still standing on truth, still standing in your word. So we ask that you would bless her and likewise Sister Teresa and Sister Amy, Lord, in a special way, dear Heavenly Father. Father, we ask, oh Lord, that you would remember our dear Sister Vaughn there in Boston, dear Father. We thank you for her and ask that you would bless her, dear Father. Remember her family, Lord, in a special way, dear Lord. Continue, Lord God, to bless them and be with them, dear Heavenly Father. We know, Lord God, she was starting out a new job and she needed, Lord God, some extra encouragement and extra words to help her to get through. So, Lord, we just pray, dear Father, that the prayers of the saints are being answered on her behalf, dear Lord. Amen. Father, not forgetting Sister Ruth, Father, we thank you for this dear sister and ask in the name of Jesus that thou would continue to look in upon her, dear Father. Continue to touch her and heal her in her body. We know, Lord God, she's been going through some things, dear Heavenly Father. We know, Lord God, that there are some times, dear Father, when the enemy tries to beat her down, dear Father. But, Lord, we're lifting her up to you this morning, dear Father, and asking you in the precious name of Jesus that thou would continue to look down upon her with favor. Thank you, Lord God. Every now and then she sends out a beautiful poem, dear Father, or words of encouragement, dear Father, and we thank you for that and ask that you would continue to bless her, dear Heavenly Father. Remember her grandson and her children, Lord, in a special way, dear Father. Father, we just ask this morning that you remember all. Sister Sandy, likewise, dear Father, we thank you for her and ask your blessing upon this dear sister. Remember her sister Carolyn, her sister Carolyn, dear Father, in a special way, likewise, dear Father, knowing, dear Father, they've been going through some things in their bodies, dear Father, that they've not been feeling well, Lord God, but we pray in the name of Jesus, dear Father, that you touch them and heal them enough, dear Father, that they'll be able to come in the house, to be in the house of the Lord, dear Father, maybe able to sit with the saints of God, dear Heavenly Father. I know sometimes, Lord God, when the enemy tries to press us down, dear Father, tries to keep us away from the body of Christ, dear Father, the saints of God who are here, dear Father, who are able to encourage and to help us, Lord God, help us to press through those times, dear Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord God, to know that you are God and beside you there is none other, dear Father. Likewise, we ask that you remember Brother Monty and his family, Lord God. Remember them in a special way, dear Heavenly Father. True, dear Father, we would love to see him out in the house of the Lord, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, he says he's saved, dear Father, so we want him to come, dear Father, and be amongst his brothers and sisters in Christ, dear Heavenly Father, where he can get the strength he needs, dear Heavenly Father, to continue to run this race that thou hast set before him. Father, we just ask that you would bless and be his guide in his direction, dear Father, and the strength he stands in need of. Remember all others who are calling in, who are listening in, dear Father. We ask in a special way, dear Father, that you would bless. Remember our children in a mighty way, dear Father. Many of them were not out today, but we thank you for those that are here, dear Father. Ask that you would bless and be with them, dear Heavenly Father. We know, Lord God, the enemy, dear Father, is busy on every hand, dear Father. We can see him working even amongst our children, Lord God, trying to divide and conquer, dear Father. But, Lord, we lift them up to you, dear Heavenly Father. You've given us these children, dear Father, and we know, dear Heavenly Father, you've given us a great responsibility to train them up in the way they should go. And so, Father, we are doing your will. So we ask in the name of Jesus, we rebuke Satan, dear Heavenly Father, that would try to hinder, dear Father, try to keep them from being here in the house of the Lord, and ask that you would bless their father. Lord, likewise, we ask a special prayer upon Sister Spector, Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, we heard her news on Wednesday night, dear Father. But, Lord God, we look at her, and, Lord, you would never know, dear Father, that, Lord, that the cancer is raging in her body, dear Father. But, Lord, she has a spirit about her because she knows she's serving you. But, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask this day that you would wrap your loving arms around her, dear Father, that you would touch her and that you would heal her, Lord God, in her body, dear Father. I know she has an upcoming surgery, but, Lord God, I know you're able, dear Father. I know you, Lord God, can touch and heal her body, dear Father, that when they go in, that's no worse than what they think it is, dear Heavenly Father. Because you are God, and besides you, there is none other. Father, we're not going to count you out, but we're going to count you in on behalf of Sister Smith, dear Heavenly Father. We lift her up to you, dear Heavenly Father, and ask in the name of Jesus, dear Father, that you would look down upon her with favor. We thank you for Sister Smith, dear Father. We thank you for her sweet spirit, Lord God. We thank you for this, for Lord God, the gifts you've given her of help, dear Heavenly Father. All the things that she's doing, dear Father, to help out others, Lord God. But Lord God, we know now she's in need, dear Father, of us holding her up to you, dear Heavenly Father. So, Lord God, we're lifting her up, dear Father, to the throne of grace, Lord God, to the one who is able to do all things, dear Father, to the one cancer has no control over, dear Father, to the one, dear Father, arthritis has no control over, to the one, dear Heavenly Father, that death has no control, because you can speak, man live, and you speak, and man die, and you can speak and heal this body. You healed others, and we know you can heal Sister Smith, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, we thank you for her and ask, dear Heavenly Father, that thou would look in upon her, dear Heavenly Father. Lord God, keep her in that sweet spirit, Lord God. Help her not to doubt, dear Father, but help her to know, dear Father, her life is in your hands this morning, dear Father, and you are able, dear Lord, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what kind of condition or gloom they kind of bring out, but you are the one, dear Heavenly Father, that is able to heal that body. And so, Lord, we commend her into your hands and ask that thou would heal her to your glory and to your honor. Yes. Father, we want to thank you this morning, Lord God, for blessing us, dear Heavenly Father, this past week. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done. Yes. You truly have been so good to us, Heavenly Father. No, dear Father, we're not just saying these as words, dear Father, as a fad or anything, dear Father. But, Lord God, we're thanking you, truly knowing, dear Father, that you are God, and besides thee, there is none other. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, you remember our world and the condition in which it is in. We pray much for our city of Columbus, dear Heavenly Father. Yes. We pray much for our world, America, Lord God, and all over this world, dear Heavenly Father. We see the devastation in the land. We hear of all the things that are going on, the turmoil. And so we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would have your way. Father, we pray for our president, our world leaders, dear Father. Pray for our Congress, our, Lord God, upcoming elections, our judges, and dear Heavenly Father. We just pray for all, dear Father. Yes. Remember the firefighters who are fighting the fires there, dear Father, out west. My God in heaven, dear Lord. Lord, we think about those fires, dear Father, and they say how hot it is, dear Heavenly Father. But, Lord, it makes me think even more, dear Father, about how hot it's going to be in hell. For those, dear Father, who are destined to go there, you said it would be fervent heat, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, my God in heaven, help us, Lord God, to run this race that you have set before us. Help us, Lord God, to keep our lives upon the sparrow, dear Father. Help us to keep a clean life before you, dear Father, holy and righteous, Lord God. Remember, Lord God, our dear sister Blake, we thank you for her. Thank you for her wisdom. Thank you for her knowledge. Thank you, Lord God, for how you have led her to have a knowledge, Lord God, that when we sit down and the children downstairs, she's able to explain stuff to the point, Lord God, that it's so understandable, Lord God. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, even for the question that was asked this morning by the young people, dear Father. Lord, a question that was not out of disrespect, but a question, dear Heavenly Father, to seek understanding. And we thank you for that and ask that, Lord, you would grant that understanding, dear Heavenly Father, in a mighty way. Father, we pray likewise that you remember Sister Millicent as she leads the devotional service. We thank you for this dear sister likewise. We thank you for her teaching. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done for her. Now, that thou
all that you are doing. We ask that you get the glory out of her life. Thank you for touching her little dog, dear Father.
Yeah.
We just ask that you would just bless. Have thine own way in the services today, Lord God. Remembering Brother Lavester, we thank you for our trustees, him and Brother Maurice, and all the work they do here in the house of the Lord. Thank you for Brother Robert, our custodian, and all the work he does. Sister Melita and Brother Pierre and the media, dear Father, our ushers, Lord God. Just thank you for all the saints of God in general, Lord God, for everything, Lord God. Because, Lord, we can't do it without each other, dear Father. But most of all, we can't do it without you, dear Heavenly Father. For in thee we live and move and have our being. So, Father, we thank you this morning for that and ask that you would continue to bless us. Remember for our Sunday school superintendent, Brother Byrie. Thank you, Lord God, for the knowledge you've given him. Thank you for how you blessed him. Remember his companion in a special way. Remember his request, Lord God. We just ask that you would get the glory out of our lives. Have thine own way in the services, Lord God. And we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you. Amen.
You look on our bulletin, your song, Make Me a Servant. Make Me a Servant. Service is good stewardship for God. Make Me a Servant. Humble and meek. Be humble and meek in the Word of God, living for Him. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and make the prayer of my heart always be.
To God. We understand that we have to be made a servant through salvation, through the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be made meet for the master's use, and we thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. So glad to be here this morning, and again, giving glory to God. Honor and praise to his name, thanking him for all of his many blessings to us. Us even just being able to be here. We opened our eyes this morning. That was God's mercy and God's goodness. He gave us the strength to move. That's God's blessing and God's goodness and his mercy. So we just thank God for allowing us to come together again and worship him. Together. It's just so good to come together with the house of God, with the people of God, because we come in contact with all kinds of folks on the outside, but just to be able to come and be among the people of God is truly
It's a blessing, and it strengthens us, helps hold us together.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank God for Pastor Jenkins this morning, and just thank God for her prayer, for her earnest prayer this morning that we know reached the throne of God this morning. We ask God to just bless her and touch her during this service.
Amen.
Our responsive reading is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Amen. Amen. If you're able to stand at the reading of God's word, we would ask, ask us to stand. First Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ.
I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able.
For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
For while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal?
Would we go back and read that first verse again and make note of the fact that the word of is in front of Paul and of is in front of Apollos?
For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and yet not carnal.
Amen.
Amen.
Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe? Even as the Lord gave to every man.
I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble,
every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Together, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. Amen. Bless God. Amen. That lets us know we're not here to try to lay foundations. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his word and how God instructs us in his word. We're studying in our Sunday school how the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. That we may be perfect according to the word of God, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we dare not even pretend to begin to try to do a work in the name of the Lord unless the Lord has furnished us by his word, and by his doctrine, by his reproof, by his correction, by his instruction in righteousness. And that just lets us know that we are to be instructed in his word. We're going to ask at this time, because we know that God's word also ordains prayer. We're told to pray without ceasing. We're told to make our requests known to God by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We make our needs known unto the Lord. And so we're going to ask at this time if there are special requests for prayer, either by word of mouth or up to the hand. Sister Regina. Amen. Amen. Yes, Sister Regina, we'll remember you and your family. Amen. Sister India. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. God is able to protect you. God is able to direct you. And there are times, as we know that we're told that in the word of God, that there are times when a man's foes will be them of his own household. And in order to serve God, we've got to put God first. Amen. So we'll definitely lift you up in prayer. We know you're carrying a burden. You're very burdened about this. And so the word of God tells us to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we'll be lifting you up in prayer, knowing that we can get under that burden with you and pray for you and know that God never makes a mistake. So what the Lord directs you to do, that is what you must do. Amen. Amen. Definitely pray for you, Sister India. Other requests for prayer? Sister Holmes. Amen. Amen. We'll pray for you, Sister Holmes. Amen. Lord bless me. So glad that God has blessed you to be today. Sister Carol. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Blake, I'm trusting to text and tell me to tell the same thank you for your prayer. She is now, but continue to remember her in prayer.
Amen.
And I also spoke with Caleb's mother, Caleb Lowry, the one who had cancer. He's doing well. She said thank you for your prayers and continue to hold them, especially her. She's doing a lot of running around now. Just remember that.
Amen. Pastor Jenkins said, remember, continue to remember Tressie Llewellyn, who thanks the saints for their prayers, and she is home now. And she had COVID, and she is home now. So continue to remember him, her in body, soul, mind, and spirit. And also for Caleb Lowry, who's suffering with cancer, and he's doing better. And so his mother thanked the saints for their prayers. And continue to remember him and remember her as she's doing quite a bit of running around and trying to take care of him. So that was the quest that Pastor Jenkins made. And remember this service, this hour of service, God would have his way. And we're thankful for our children being here today, glad to see them. Just glad to see them. So remember them, remember their household. Remember all of our children. We are... this is the last Sunday in July, and you know, for some of them, they will be going back to school in just a few weeks. So remember them much in prayer.
Mr. Blake, I thank the Lord for as many blessings. You continue to hold me up in prayer. Due into my sick doctor, Lord's will, tomorrow. I was telling you I was having a problem with it. The machine kept giving me this sore throat, affecting my ears, so they did some adjustment on my machine, and so they want to see me tomorrow, Lord's will, and see how I'm doing. So thank God. So far, I haven't had any more sore throat, but still trusting the Lord. So just remember me. And likewise with my physical, it was supposed to be this week. They had to move it out to next week. A lot of doctors are doing physicals right now because One Nationwide has asked us to go to our doctor instead of having the program at our job. So they had to move mine out. So just remember us in prayer. Trust in the Lord that everything is still going well within my body, and God knows. And continue to remember the man and sister man, much in prayer for his family, the things are doing with them.
Amen. Amen. So remember Sister Millicent. Bless her. The Lord would be with her. She goes to her sleep doctor, and the Lord would just, and that she has her physical. And the Lord would just bless and remember Brother Mann and Sister Mann as well. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Praise, thank the Lord that you're safe. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, yes. Amen. We will remember Brother DeAndre much in prayer. You know, we see it's almost a daily occurrence in the news where someone gets on an airplane and acts ugly. They're unruly. They have to grab them or calm them down, or they don't let the plane take off because the people are acting up, or they try to storm the cockpit. There's one where they had to duct tape the lady to her seat. She was acting up so much. They had to, and they duct, and so she stayed duct taped. She had a picture. She was duct taped to the seat, so she couldn't get up until the plane landed. So and the scripture talks about these people, fierce and incontinent, out of control. Just and one would think that airplanes going up in the air that they would just sit still and be quiet, but that's not the case. But because the enemy is roaring. So Yeah. So you remember Brother DeAndre and all the flight attendants and pilots and so on. Remember, I mean, it's enough that they're flying, and COVID's still going on, but now they have to worry about people actually attacking them in the air, or attacking each other. Some passengers are attacking other passengers because they're too slow in getting their luggage down out of the overhead compartment. These are the perilous times in which we're living. We were downstairs in our class, and Pastor Jenkins took us to the scripture that said, in the last days perilous times shall come, and we are in them now. And so that's why we've got to make sure that we're anchored in the Lord. We've got to make sure that we're fixed in Him, because we may suffer some of these things because of people's out of control. With the lady who was tailgating you, Sister Maria, so closely and almost hit you in the bed and went around you and it went up and hit someone else. There, but for the grace of God. And so we thank God for protecting you, but this out of control and road rage and all these things, now they don't even have to be on the road. They just have rage. And so it behooves us to just get hold of the Lord and hold on to Him. Amen. Sister Melita. He'll be flying to Georgia. Flying back. Oh, from Georgia. All right. Amen. 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 Traveling mercies. Amen. We will remember them in prayer. Amen. Thank the Lord. Are there any other requests? Brother Byron. Yes, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. All general requests. Amen. Amen. After the hymn of meditation, we'll ask Brother Byron if he would take us to the throne of grace. And if there are those who have special need, the altar is here. You can come and talk to the Lord. Because we know we can come to Him at any time. The Lord is here. We are here. We're praying together. So know that if you have a special need, you can come forward.
So we turn in our evening light to page 280. Evening light 280. I must tell Jesus. He's the one that can help us. 280. Okay. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 3. 1 and 3 and then the chorus. 280.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. Burdens to bear.
Come before you and offer up a prayer, but I desire that you're praying for me as well, that the work of prayer, and that God, we're here from on high, each and every one of us according to his riches and glory, and truly thank God for all he's done. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Our kind, most gracious, and heavenly Father, as we come before thee in prayer, we truly want to say thank you for allowing us to be present in the house of God this day. We realize, dear Father, that it's by your grace and your mercy and your love, you allowed us to rise up, and you allowed us to prepare ourselves and make our way to the house of God this day. And we ask that thou would look down with favor upon each and every one of these that have gathered together this day in the house of God to fellowship one with another. But right now, as we gather around your throne, we ask that you will look down with favor and bless according to your riches and glory. We realize, dear Father, that you heard every request and you saw every need before we got here. So we ask that thou would have mercy and have grace in the time of need. So we ask that thou would bless your people this day. And we're truly thankful for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do. And we truly want to say thank you in the name of Jesus, that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son. And you said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we're thankful for yielding to the word of God and receiving everlasting life. So we ask that you would bless your people and guide and direct and see us through. And we're thankful for Sister Regina being here in our midst this day. And we ask that thou remember her request as she spoke about traveling around and being busy through this week and remembering her daughter in a special way. We ask that thou would look down with favor, guide and direct, see her through. Remember her condition where she lives as well. We ask that thou would be with her. I believe she said it's even Debbie's birthday, and we ask that thou remember her in a special way. So we just ask that thou would continue to bless, and realize that as we bless Sister Regina thus far, seeing her through. So we ask that thou would continue to look down upon her with much favor. And likewise, we're thankful to see Sister Carol here in our midst, dear Father. And as she has gathered around your throne, we ask that thou remember her in a special way, soul, body, and spirit. We ask that thou would look down upon her as she goes to and fro and make her travels here and there and her calls here and there and speaking to those. And as she's just going through this life, we ask that thou would keep her in a special and a mighty way and continue to bless and guide and see her through. And we ask that thou would remember the children that have gathered here this day, and we ask that thou would bless each and every one of them. We're thankful for them, dear Father, and we ask that thou would continue to bless them, that even in these last days, realizing that there's hard times and influences from many other children, as well as many other congregations now these days. And we ask that you would have mercy upon them, that they would continue to receive truth and understanding of your eternal word. So we ask your blessings to be with them in a mighty way. And likewise, Sister Kiva, seeing her in the house of God, we ask that thou remember her in a special way and look down upon her with much favor. And didn't hear a special request, but we realize each and every one of us have a need for to be in thy presence and have something from thee. So we ask that thou would bless her and bless her loved ones in a mighty way and remember them that are far and near in her life. And likewise, Sister India, thankful to see her in the house of God this day. And we ask that thou remember this dear sister in a special way. And she's continuing to battle in life. But allow her to realize, dear Father, as I heard her request, that the battle's not hers no more, but it's yours. We ask that thou would bless her and strengthen her, allow her to be able to turn the battle over to thee, be able to quiet down her own spirit and allow thee to go before her and make the pathway sure. So we ask that thou would bless her, dear Father, and look down upon her with much favor and see her through. And thankful for her daughter by her side. Allow her to continue to nurture her in a special way. Guide and direct her and see her through. Have thine own divine way in her life, dear Father. We realize she's new at trying to follow thee. So we just ask that you would allow and calm her spirit and allow her to allow thee to guide and direct in Jesus' name. Thankful to see Sister Holmes here this day, and we ask that thou would bless her in a mighty way. Continue to remember her in a special way, dear Father. She has moved on up in age, but you have allowed her to still be in our presence. Amen. And we're thankful for it, dear Father. We're thankful for her love. We're thankful for the grace you have given her and the longevity. Yes. And it's just a ministry unto us to be able to see her each and every time and each and every day. So we ask that thou would continue to bless her in a special way. And likewise, we're thankful to see Sister Maria here and remember her in a special way. Remember her household. And we're thankful to know that you had divine protection around her.
Great.
So we ask that thou would continue to bless and have thine own divine way. Continue to bless and see her through. Remember the boys in a special way and look down upon them with favor. It's good to see that they have energy, dear Father.
Yes.
We realize that energy means they're healthy.
Yes.
So we're just thankful for it, dear Father. Sometimes it might be a little time when we might not want to see it, but it's good to see energy and that they're able to move and that they have their being. So we're praying for them, continue to bless them, see them through. And likewise, her companion in a special way, Brother DeAndre, allow him to be settled in his spirit. Allow him to know that you have taken the punishment once before for each and every one of us. You have allowed those to spit on you. You allowed those to call you names. You allowed those to do all kind of manner of things, even speak evil of you, even mock you. They did it all. So allow Brother DeAndre to know that you have suffered many things for his soul's sake. So continue to bless him and see him through. I don't know all of his condition, but I hear little bits and pieces about those at work that may not be treating as well. But we just ask that thou remember this brother in a special way. Allow him to know that you suffered it all for his soul's sake. Continue to bless and see him through in a special way. And likewise, we thankful to see Brother Tony in the house of God. Ask that you to remember this brother in a special way. Continue to bless him. Continue to look down upon him with favor. Bless his loved ones, his grandchildren that are here, far and near, his son, his families. We ask that thou would just remember them in a special way. And likewise, dear Father, we ask that thou to remember Brother Levester in a special way. We're thankful for him being in the house of God. Continue to bless him. See him through. We ask that thou remember his family in a special way, those that are far and near, those that are traveling. We ask that thou remember him in a special way. And we're thankful for Sister Smith being here.
Father, I got a thought in mind.
We ask that you will look down with favor.
Amen.
We know that you're able. And even from within, I know that you're able. It hasn't been long since you took me through a battle.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And the battle can be won. So we ask that you remember Sister Smith in a special way. Father, just even not for her sake alone, but for each and every one of us. That as I lift up my voice to thee, that we will know that you dwell with us and that you hear from on high. We ask that you will honor our request on her behalf to strengthen her in body, strengthen her as she goes through what thou knows all about. So we ask that you would have your own divine way in this matter and bless and strengthen and guide and allow each and every one of us to be strong. Allow us to know that it's important that we understand that you are in our presence and that you are with us. And even through her, you may show us, therefore. So bless and guide and direct in a special way. I ask it and beg it of you. Likewise, remembering Sister Millicent this day, we ask that God remember her in a special way. Look down upon her with much favor. Continue to bless her household. Continue to bless her in body. Carry her through. She has some things that she's going through as well, but we ask that God would bless and see her through. And we're thankful for Minister Jenkins being here. And we ask that God would continue to bless and see her through, dear Father. We realize, dear Lord, that you have spoken to her and you have given her a word. And you said in your word that it is by the inspiration of God. So we realize the inspiration of God is upon her this day to speak to us the words of God. So we ask that thou would bless her while she is preparing her heart to stand before us and give what you have given her. So we ask that thou would bless her and strengthen her in a mighty way. Look down upon her with favor this day. Continue to bless her, see her through, allow the Spirit to guide and direct in all things. And we ask that thou would remember Sister Melita. We remember her request for her son that would be traveling back. We ask that thou would remember that situation in a special way and any others she spoke of. And likewise, Brother Maurice, we ask that thou would remember him. He's here. And Sister Lawrence Dean, we're thankful for her being in the house of God. Remember her in a special way. And likewise, Father, as my son called and said, they've asked them to go dark, and I believe that's an understanding of no connection with anyone outside. So we ask that thou remember him in a special way and look down upon him with favor. And likewise, my daughter, as she's supposed to travel this way, maybe this upcoming weekend or a couple weekends, but we ask that thou would bless. Have thine own divine way. Allow us to realize that we are the church of God. Allow, even as is said, we're in these last and perilous times. And we're in times when we need to be careful and need to be watchful and need to be prayerful. And most of all, be watchful of our own souls, that we are drawn closer and closer to thee. So strengthen up your people. Guide and direct us. Allow your Spirit to be upon us, to strengthen us. You said you would give us power to be sons of God. So we desire that power, dear Father, to be a son of God. We desire that power to be in your presence. We desire that power to have, that you said, a promise of the Holy Spirit to endue us with power from on high. So guide and direct and see us through. And let's be ever so careful. Let us be ever so careful to give thee the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for his spirit manifested.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before you to lift the morning offering, this is the fourth Sunday of the month, so the special offering for today is for missions. And we may place that offering for missionaries in the center plate, our tithes and other offerings on either side. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you allow us, Lord, to come to you, dear God. And, Lord, we can bring, Lord, our lives and ourselves, Lord, our minds and our hearts, Lord, to you, dear God, fully surrendered to you, dear Father. Knowing, Lord, that you're able, Lord, to take our life and to make it something, Lord, that will be profitable to you and Lord, will help some other soul somewhere. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, even as Brother Byron said, we thank you, Lord, for your power, Lord, to transform our lives, dear God, to make us, Lord, what you would have us to be. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless us, dear Father, even as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. We pray, dear God, that you would do with them as you will, dear God. Lord, that your kingdom, dear Father, Lord, might be exalted. Lord, that you might receive the glory for it all. And Lord, that souls might be blessed. Have your way, dear God, even in this offering, and have your way in our lives, dear God. And truly, Lord, we will give you the glory, honor, and praise as we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This has been on my mind, saints, and I want to give all praise and honor to God the Father, Christ Jesus the Son, by the Spirit. I'm not afraid because I know that he's going to watch over me and he's going to take care of me. And I thank you for your prayers. Don't give up on me. I'm not going to give up on you. Trust and obey. And I'm going to sing the second verse. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies. But his smile quickly dries it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But you trust and obey. Thank you.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he does richly.
is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. Trusting and obeying, we know Jesus has full control. He has full control. Amen, amen.
Somebody loves me. Somebody keeps me. Somebody saves my soul. It is Jesus who keeps me, Jesus who saves me, Jesus has full control. Somebody brought me, somebody taught me, somebody saved my soul.
Does Jesus have full control? Amen. Praise our God. Thank God. That's what has to happen. He has to have full control. You know, some of you years ago wrote a book called Jesus is My Co-Pilot. No, Jesus is the pilot. Jesus is not the co-pilot. Because Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Amen. And that's what the song poet says. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. We thank God for the service thus far. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer, asking him to anoint the word and his servant. Ask him to anoint both as his word is proclaimed. And asking the Lord to anoint our hearts and our ears to receive the word. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all, Lord, that our hearts have felt, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers, Lord, that have gone up to your throne, dear Father. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for the songs of Zion singing praises to your most holy and righteous name. And now, dear Father, we're asking, Lord, for your power, dear God, and your spirit, Father, to be up on the preaching of your divine word. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would bless, Lord, your maid servant, dear God. Lord, give her the strength to proclaim your word, Lord. Give her the voice, Lord, and the mind, dear God, to tell us, Lord, what you have already told to her, dear God. Lord, we know, dear Father, that what you gave to her, dear God, was not to be kept in secret, dear God, or for herself, but to be given to us. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, in advance, Lord, for your word, which we know, Lord, will nourish our souls. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would anoint our hearts, dear God, to hear and to receive your word, dear God, knowing, dear Father, that it will give us the strength, Lord, that we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, we pray, dear God, if there are those, Lord, who are as yet unsaved, Lord, we pray, dear God, that your ministering spirit, Lord, would go to them, dear God, preach, Lord, to them individually, dear God, help them to know, dear God, that they need you, Lord, and there is no life in anything other than in you and in your word and in your son and in your spirit. Have your way, dear God, and help us, Lord, to receive your word, dear God, even as is preached to us, dear God. Pray, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, would minister to Pastor Jenkins and to us, dear God, in this service, Lord, that we may, Lord, be more, dear God, and have more than we had when we came in, dear God. Have your way, Lord, and make us a blessing. And truly, Lord, we'll give you glory and praise. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Pastor Renee Jenkins.
Good afternoon. Giving glory and honor to God. Truly the privilege, again, an opportunity to stand before you, giving honor to Sister Blake. I thank God for her. Thank God for each and every one of you. Thank God for my family of God, a beautiful family of God we have. I truly thank God for you and your prayers. Thank God for how good he has been to us. Amen. No, we've had some trials, had some tribulations, but that's all right. God still has been good. Amen?
Amen.
He's brought us through each and every one of us. Thank God for prayers. Bless Sister Maria and them this morning. And not that we wish anyone else would have an accident, but we just thank God it wasn't them. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God. He watches over his people.
Yeah.
Watches over his people. I trust you have your Bibles this morning. This afternoon, I should say, especially to the young, get your Bibles out, get a writing instrument in case we get going quickly. We read in our hearing this morning, 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, 1 through 15. We would like to go back to that scripture to get the subject. As you know, this is a continuation of last Lord's Day. We thank God for all he shared last Lord's Day, and thank God for what he's going to share with us today. Lord bless. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. As the Lord grants me liberty this afternoon, I would like to continue sharing with you Some thoughts on the subject. Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? Well, last Lord's Day, we read where the psalmist said in the 17th division of Psalms, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Letting us know that in any matters in our lives, we need God's blessings. We can build, and if the Lord is not in it, it will be for naught. Why? Because our Heavenly Father is the master carpenter of our lives. He is the source of our wisdom, which is the most valuable building material that any of us could ask God for. We are told in Proverbs 24, verse 3, these words. He says there, though through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. When you know Jesus Christ, well, let me go on, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. When you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your faith is anchored in him. You have spiritual riches in God. I know the day in which we live, many measure their wealth essentially by using money. But knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior outweighs anything we have in our pockets or in the bank. I know that the world thinks differently, but we are talking in a spiritual matter this morning. The world wants to emulate those things, those who are monetarily rich. That is why we see so many get-rich-quick schemes going on. And many people are falling for them, and they're losing all of their money. I've never seen Forbes publish a list of the top 100 most godly people in the world, though they do publish a list of the wealthiest people. But as a Christian, who do you and I emulate? You see, there is nothing wrong with wealth, but there is a reason that Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew, the 19th chapter, in verse 24, that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You think about that. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, and these are what he is saying to the disciples. This is what he's letting them know in this scripture text. When he said to them, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, as believers in Christ, we've got to know where all of our treasure is laid up. We've got to know that our treasure is in Almighty God, and it is not in the riches of this world. You may say to me, well, yes, Sister Renee, we live in this world and we need money in order to be able. Yes, we do. And God will supply all of our needs. We've oftentimes quoted the scripture there in the 37th division of Psalms, verse 25, where David said in the word of God, when he said there, I've once been young, I'm now old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. We've oftentimes quoted that scripture. Do we stand on what the word of God says? Then we know the word of God tells us. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, he tells us the thing, the very thing we must do in order for us to have the things that God is looking for. He said in that scripture text there, he tells us that we have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What are the things? The things that we need in this life shall be added unto you. How many of us believe that this afternoon, that our God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus? That's what God has done for us. And we don't have to have rich, quick schemes to get about, but all we have to do is trust in Almighty God. Look at what Paul says here in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. You see, as believers in Christ Jesus, let us say, as Paul says here in this scripture reading, he went on to say there in verse 7 of Philippians 3, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is God keeping your mind this afternoon? Is God keeping your heart this afternoon? Oh, yeah, I know there are a lot of things that we're going through right now. I know a lot of worrying is going on right now with the saints of God, and we're not making fun of it. That's not what the Spirit is doing here. We have a lot of cares right now in this life, but we've got peace in God, and that peace is in our soul. I know Brother Byron has been working with us on Wednesday night about the divine presence of God. I was sharing with him and Sister Smith this morning. I said to them, Brother, as I've been listening to you on Wednesday night, I know what God is saying when he's talking about the divine presence. And I asked him, I said, Brother, tell me, is this what God is saying to you, that God's divine presence is with us always? God's divine presence is in every situation, but we've got to desire that presence of God in order for God to be there. But we're living in a time where people don't want God in their business. They don't want God in their money. They don't want God in our schools. Someone mentioned downstairs, I believe it was the young child downstairs this morning, young Jasmine in our Sunday school. Why would you, she said, well, I heard you all used to have prayer in school. Yeah, mankind doesn't want God in our schools. They don't want God in our prayers, in our neighborhoods, in our grocery stores, on our money, on the Pledge of Allegiance. And many of them fly flags on their houses outside. But oh, what happens when something chaotic goes on in one person's life? Then they want everybody to call down heaven upon their situation. But we serve an almighty God. We serve a gracious God. We serve a loving heavenly Father who in all his infinite wisdom loved mankind enough that he sent his son to die for you and I. He said in the word of God, but God commended his love toward us. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, it wasn't an afterthought of God. God sent his son so that you and I might be able to live. God sent his son so that we can have his divine presence with us each and every day of the week. But God doesn't force us to serve God. God allows us to make that choice because he said there in John 3rd chapter, let's turn there for a moment. We'll get back to Philippians, but this is what the Spirit has given me right now. Amen. He said in there, and brother quoted in his prayer, verse 16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You'll see this oftentimes. People will be at football games, and they'll have up a sign that'll say John 3:16. But let us look at the love of Almighty God. Let us look at this precious gift that God gave us. Oh, when we look at our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, we realize how precious they are. Do you not think that Jesus was precious to Almighty God? Oh, yes, he was. He was the greatest gift that God could give. He said, for God so love the world. God so love you. God so love me that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, you got to believe in him in order to have this everlasting life we are talking about. He went on to say, for God sent not his son into the world. Oh, Jesus' purpose for coming was not to come to condemn this world. He didn't come to condemn it. He said, for condemn the world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. Praise our God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. Amen. If you don't believe, you are condemned, and you are on your way to a devil's hell. You have an option or a choice this morning. Or this afternoon, you can believe Almighty God and the love that God had for us.
You can believe that he sent his son to die for you so that you might be able to have life and have it more abundant in Jesus Christ. Or you can believe not and say, you know, Sister Renee, I don't want to hear any of that. I don't believe any of it. But then you realize that you are condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise our God. And when you say, I don't believe in Jesus, you have no access to the kingdom of God. What a sad state to be in. What a sad place many are in today. Praise our God. You know, Jesus, first of all, oh, he paid the price. Oh, as brother was praying this morning, and I was listening to the words that he was saying, what he was saying to Sister India, we're praying for you, sis. Hold on. These are the trying times. The enemy wants you back. You've got to press on.
Amen.
Each and every one of us that are sitting here in this place this morning, on this afternoon, we've all been where you are right now. May not have said the same thing that you're suffering right now, but all of us have been through something. And we determined, had to determine in our hearts and in our mind, live or die, I am the Lord. I'm going on for Jesus. No matter what come what may, I'm going on for Jesus. You see, your family may not go with you. Your children may not like you for the things that you do. They may not like you for the things that you say. They may not like you for the discipline that you have to issue. But you got to go on for Almighty God. Because it's Jesus, first of all, because Jesus saved your soul. Jesus loved you that much. And then when you get to know Jesus more and more and more as you run this race that God has set before, then you're able to raise up your children in the right way, the way that God will have them to go. You're able to go ahead and finish on raising up your little one you got there and teaching her more and more about Jesus and less about this old world. All of us have been down that road. Oh, many of us, if you ask the saints of God, and I believe I'm safe in saying this, that all of us will say to you, I wish I would have came to the Lord sooner in my life. Oh, I don't regret the day that I turned my life over to God. Why? Because I've been running on for Jesus ever since. Yeah, the enemy pressed sore against me. Various things in my life. The enemy knew that there were things that I love, and the saints of God already know my testimony. There was something in my life that I loved so much and I wanted so much of, and that was a big, huge diamond ring. Oh, my God in heaven, that's all I wanted when I was coming along. But when Jesus saved my soul, he took away that desire. He took it away from me, and I can live God now knowing that God has set me in the right direction. Oh, I was going the way of the world and all the things that the world wanted. I was out there in the world just like anyone else. But praise be God, I am what I am. I can say it like Paul said in the Word of God. I am what I am by the grace of Almighty God. Thank God. Thank God when he takes things away from you. Thank God when he says, don't go there no more. Don't get up and get all upset and say, well, I can't do that again. Praise be to Almighty God. Because you're building on a rock right now. And that rock is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus, when you build on Jesus, you're not going to go in the wrong direction. He goes on, Paul says there in Philippians 3, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mine through Christ Jesus. He went on to say, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. You see, we're living in such a dishonest time. You can't trust anyone. But look at what he's telling you and I. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, he wants us to what? Think on these things. Praise be to God. That's what God wants us to think on. He wants us to have our thoughts and our actions on things of purity, not on things of this world. He goes on to say, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul was speaking about himself. Those things you've heard and you've seen in me. See, we've got to live this life, first of all, before we can say to someone else how to live for Almighty God. I've got to live so just like you do in order for me to be able to stand before you. Paul says on here, those things which ye have heard, both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We're living in a time where people can't be content with some things. People have to just get more and more and more. But we've got to be content, saints of God. He went on to say, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He said, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Oh, Paul knew how to adapt. He knew how to go back. And saints of God, you and I also. He went on to say, I can do all things. Do you believe this afternoon? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Praise our God. Let us build our spiritual riches in Jesus. No matter what your circumstances are this afternoon, no matter whether you're rich or poor, be faithful to the things of God. Let us all continue to pray for spiritual riches from Christ Jesus, which will last us throughout eternity. Oh, the things of this world are just going to last right now. But we need to pray that God will give us those things that will last throughout eternity. You see, when you build a strong foundation in and on Jesus Christ, you have riches that cannot be obtained in this old world in which we are living. You see, if you are not saving for eternity, that means that you are laying up your treasure in, not in the home above, but you're laying it upon this earth. The one thing that is keeping folks from coming to Christ Jesus and from living a life of abundance in him is their failure to discover that, yes, there are riches in serving Almighty God. Amen. It may not be monetary as we want it to be, but there are riches in serving Almighty God that have already been laid up for you and I. Look at what Jesus said in the Word of God. Turn to John, the 14th chapter. We know it well. And look at what he says. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God. He said, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house. See, this is a rich that's been laid up for you and I. He said, in my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. See, that lets us know that if we're right with Almighty God, he's gone on to prepare a place for us. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise God. A spiritual rich has already been laid up for us. Jesus is laying it up. He's building for you and I. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Is one of those mansions yours this afternoon?
Praise
I say to you, if you don't know for sure, then I say come to an altar or go to a prayer room and make it right with Jesus so you'll know that he's gone to prepare a mansion for you. Also over in James, the second chapter, look at what he said there in verse 5. Praise our God. If any of you lack wisdom,
Let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Yes. Praise our God. Oh, no, I read the wrong scripture there. I meant to be over in 2 James, James 2, verse 5. He said, hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Another spiritual riches for us, saints of God. He said, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him. Are you an heir this afternoon? Praise our God. Oh, I trust God will give me a message on spiritual riches. There's much in the word of God concerning this. Truly, we thank God for his word. When we left off on last Lord's Day, we were talking about Christ being the chief cornerstone to the church of God. How the cross, Jesus, how at the cross, Jesus set us free from the chains of sin that had you and I bound. Colossians 1, turn with me there for a moment and look at what the word of God says there in verse 12. Paul says there, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Have we thanked God lately? Have we just taken time to say, Lord, I'm going to give thanks to you for all you have done for me? Have we just turned and said, Lord, I want to thank you for my family that you have blessed. I want to thank you for my family of God that you have blessed me with. I want to thank you for all the things, not the material thing, but thank God for salvation. Amen. Thank God for righteous living, holy living. Thank God that you took me from where I was and you translated me from a world of darkness into a world of light. That's something to thank Almighty God about. He goes on to say, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. God changed us. He took us out of darkness and he placed us into the kingdom of his dear son. He said, in whom we have redemption, praise our God. He said, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You see, when the good Lord saved our souls, he changed us and he changed some things in us. Paul is letting us know that with this new birth, he has made us meet. We have been qualified by God to participate in his inheritance with the saints in light. When we came into this world, we were anything but qualified to participate in anything that related to God the Father. You think about it. We are told in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1, that we were dead in trespasses and sin. The prophet in Isaiah 59, verse 2, tells us how we were separated from God because of our sin. In John 8, verse 44, Christ Jesus lets us know that we were the children of the devil. And then we are told in 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9, and in Psalms 9, verse 17, that we were doomed to hell. We were in a sad state of affairs. But praise be to Almighty God. When we were born again, everything that was wrong with us was made right by the Lord. He gave us his life according to Ephesians 2, verse 5, and also in John 10, verse 28. Then he reconciled us to himself according to Romans, the 5th chapter, 6 through 10. Now we are adopted into his family. I'm giving you these so you can read them in your leisure. We are adopted. We are told in John 1, verse 12. Also 1 John 3, 1 through 13. And again in Romans 8, verse 15. Now that we have been redeemed, our Heavenly Father has set us on the road to eternal life in heaven. We just read about it in John 14. Also, he talks about it in John 17. You see, all this happened because we believed on Jesus for salvation. At the instant when we trusted Jesus for our soul's salvation, we became a saint of God.
We became a new creature. We were born again. We received a fresh start and a new life in Christ Jesus. Everything changed. Praise God. You see, God prepared us and made us worthy to enter his presence. We are now in his family. We are the family of God. We call this our wonderful gift of justification. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. We're told this in Romans, the 5th chapter. Turn with me there for a moment and look at what he says there. Starting in verse 1 of Romans, the 5th chapter. He says there, therefore being justified by faith. This is our first work of grace. Have you been justified? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you asked Almighty God to forgive your sins? He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he went on to say, not letting us know, not only do we have peace with our God, with God through Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. See, the access comes because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He goes on to say there, wherein we stand and rejoice and hope of the glory of God. Then jump down to verse 9. He says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath and through him. Oh, justification simply refers to the act of God declaring when we were once a sinner, now to be right with him, now a saint of God. Justification is God's gracious gift to everyone that repents and that believes in Jesus Christ. That is what God meant when he said that he had qualified us. No wonder Paul told his readers back then, he's telling you and I today, to give thanks to God. You see, if it had not been for the love of God, we would not have been able to be saved. Do we believe that this afternoon? Amen. It was God who loved us. It was God who gave his son, only begotten son. Praise our God this afternoon. This is why it is important for the people of God to make sure their peace calling is an election sure. Brother Byron has spoke about it on Wednesday night. We've already mentioned about during our Bible study, divine presence. Oh, God's divine presence. We need it each and every day. And to know that we have God in our presence is to know that our heart and soul and mind is right with Almighty God. Oh, yes, there are many who dress up on Sundays and they attend some church service. But how many of those have experienced a new birth? Have had their lives transferred, have been adopted into the family of God. Although it's customary to refer to such folks as brethren, how many are truly saved today? Oh, you may say to me, Sister Renee, are you just, no, the word of God has already said there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet have not been washed from their filthiness. There are many in our day and time right now, they'll tell you, that it's okay, the lifestyle that they're living. Many are shacking up with someone. Many are stealing and doing various things, lying and cheating. I was sitting the other day at the traffic light waiting to go in the opposite direction, and there's clearly a sign at the traffic. You may say, well, that's a little petty, but no, everything we've got to think about. There's laws of the land that you and I've got to abide by those too. There's a sign up there that says, no right, no turn on red. And I see many people would drive up as we were sitting. I was sitting there waiting to go the other direction. Many would drive up, and they would look, and then they would turn. And then it just kept right on. And it made me think about it. I said, Lord, many think because they don't see the police officer around that it's okay to do. But when you're a child of God, God is in every place. Even when you're not a child of God, God is in every place. At all times, beholding the evil and the good. God sees it all. You know, we may think that we're going to sneak around and do something, but God sees it. Saints of God don't have to see it, but Almighty God sees it. That's why you've got to know that God being in divine presence of Almighty God is an everyday thing with the saints of God. We don't live our lives to try to circumvent or to go around things, but we walk in the straight and narrow way. We do things according to what the thus saith the Lord. Why? Because we are now saying that I've got a new life in Christ Jesus, and my life now is lived according to the word of God. We have a life that we want the world to see that's been transformed. That's why we're told in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You think about it. In days when you lived out in sin and did all manner of evil and dirt, that's what you did when you were in your old man. Now that you've given up that old life, you see that the only way a person can be known and be truly one of God's children is to live according to God's eternal word. Just making a profession is not good enough. We live in a world like in any other profession. There's false people who profess to be what they are. The same is in the Christian realm. There are many pretenders, false converts, tares, and hypocrites. The word of God speaks about all of them who exhibit lies of sincere piety. And piety means devotion, the devout, goodness, faithfulness to the Lord. But this is not the transformed new life of a Christian. You see, no amount of good works can confirm one's standing with God. As believers, every aspect of our lives have changed. You see, when you have been called or been changed, it will manifest itself in many ways. It'll start on the inside, and it'll come to the outside. One way is that we no longer run about all the things that are going on in our world today. You see, the things of God now occupy our time and our mind. Turn with me to 1 John, the second chapter, and let us look there for a moment. Remember, we're building upon the solid found on the rock of Jesus Christ. And look at what it says there in 1 John, the second chapter, starting there with verse 15. It said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, I believe Amen. That is plain. Amen. Let's read that again. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We read this downstairs with the children this morning, with the young people, I should say, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Oh, our world prides itself in being, oh, we are American. Oh, you walk around, people pride themselves in a lot of things that are going on. But look at what he said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Mankind are lusting after women. Women are lusting after men. And now you got women lusting after women, men lusting after men. Dad, what a world we live in. And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, look at what he says, passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you abiding?
Amen.
Are you being obedient to the things of God? Sister just sang, trust and obey.
Amen.
For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise
Amen.
Our God. Oh, and also when you come to God, there's a loss of friends and others who were in our social circle at one time. Now they make fun of us because we would read our Bibles, because we study the Word of God, because we go to church. Many of them make fun at the things that we do because we come to the house of God. Why do you have to go to the house of God so much? Well, 1 Peter 4, verse 4 says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Saints of God, we don't have to get behind every cause that is going on.
Amen.
Whether it be right or whether it be wrong, we don't have to get behind it. We have to live our lives according to Almighty God. We can pray for the situation. We can pray that God will take care of a situation, and God will. But we're living in times right now that we're seeing that our country is reaping for what this country has sown. Many things are happening on scales that you and I can't do anything about, but offer up prayer. I don't have to be standing on Broad Street and in the midst of anything, but I can be praying to Almighty God. I don't have to get myself all worked up about it and then end up standing on the parking lot out here and saying, as we heard a couple Saturdays ago or last Saturday, why is this only happening? I'm only saying what the individual said to black people. Why not to white people? Why black people this? Why are they building liquor stores in black neighborhoods? And why are they doing that? And that's why I'm, you know, mixed up on this and I'm on that. No. No. See, when you turn away from Almighty God, as we were saying this morning when we were here talking, when you turn away from God, you are liable to find yourself out there doing any old thing. You may say, oh, I won't do that. I had some morals about me. Let me tell you something. Many of them out there had morals about them, but look at them right now.
Amen.
People are shooting and killing people. I heard the other day when where a guy shot his own brother and killed him. I heard the other day where a one-year-old got shot by their own father and killed. All this is all around the saints of God. I don't believe in my heart that many of them thought years ago they would ever do, but the enemy is running rampant. The enemy is in the mind right now of many. The enemy is doing things right now that is causing mankind to act out and to do things. It's the devil is busy within mankind. Because the Bible tells us it's not what goes in him, but what comes out that defiles a man. See, the man right now is living so, as brother was saying to me this morning, mankind is living rich right now. We're in a time right now where the poor are getting poor and the rich are getting richer. You see, I have nothing against astronauts and them going to the moon, but men that have nothing to do with their money but to go up so they can, this was a childhood dream that I can float in the air, when we have so many people suffering right now in our world today. 28 billion could have done a lot, or a million could have done a lot of feeding. Oh, could have helped a lot of children with shoes on their feet. You may say, well, Sister Renee, they didn't make them. No, they didn't. But we are our brother's keeper. God has us all down here upon this earth for a reason. If one of us is in need, especially those of the household of faith, we are to help out. If there's someone that's in need, that's what God would have. But we're living in a time of selfishness. It's all about me, myself, and I. That's what our world is living in. Oh, my, my, my. You may say to me, oh, Sister Renee, does that mean now that we say we can't do nothing? No, that doesn't mean we can't have cookouts. That doesn't mean we can't have parties, enjoy vacations, go out to the zoo and go out to the park, various places with our family. That's not what the Word of God is saying. But we've got to live our lives so that the world can see Jesus Christ in you and I.
Amen.
The world's got to know that we live for Almighty God. I say to you this afternoon, don't be surprised, as the Word of God lets us know, when you're not invited to various things. Look at what he says in Luke, the 6th chapter. Turn with me there for a moment. Look at what Jesus is saying there. You know, sometimes we get wrapped up in it and we'll say, well, I, for some reason, my family's not inviting me no more. But look at what Jesus said, starting with verse 21. He said, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. And he's not talking about hungering for food. He's talking about a spiritual desire to eat his eternal word. He said, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh.
Oh, praise our God. He went on to say, blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their, see, you're blessed when this happens, saints of God. He went on to say here, he said, blessed when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Look at what he tells you and I to do. Thanks to God, this is why we got to get into the Word of God. Praise and God. Begin to read. Look what he says. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like the like manner did their fathers unto the... What we ought to be worried about is our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not whether we can go to a birthday party or a shower, but whether my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Amen. Count it all joy. The Word of God tells us. Don't allow these things of the world. Oh, yes, saints of God. Don't look at it and say, well, is she hardcore? No. Oh, I love my family. I love each and every one of them. But I know there's some I cannot go around because they're not about the things that I want them to be about. There may be things that they are doing that don't fit into what I live, the life that I live now. Oh, yes, I can witness to it. I can say to them various things, but I don't have to join up with them.
Amen.
Praise our God. Oh, it's close, saints of God. But I'd rather be on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Oh, who's on the Lord's side? That's what he asked back in the Old Testament. You remember the story, saints of God. Back in the Old Testament time, that's why the Levites were the ones that were able to carry the ark. Oh, when Moses called it out, go back and read in the Word of God. I want to be on God's side.
Amen.
I want to live for Almighty God, and I want my family to come along with me. But if my family doesn't want to go, I've got to go alone.
Amen.
I've got to go for Almighty God. You see, Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin. He provided a way for sinners to be reconciled to a holy God. Brother said on Wednesday night, Christ died for our sins, and we die to sin. To the lost this afternoon, believe on Jesus, and you will be saved. But you got to be completely sure you are saved this afternoon. Jesus said, few there be that find the narrow path. Few there be that find it. That's what he said in the Word of God. In our day and time, many are so far. Many are so careless with their walk with God or about their salvation. But there is nothing casual about this walk with God.
Praise God.
Praise our God. Either you are a child of God or you are not a child of God. We say that we walk with God. We oftentimes sing a song when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. See, when you say when you're walking with God, you're saying that we live to please him. We're not living to please ourselves. We cut off those things of our lives that keep us from walking in the way that God would have us to walk. You see, we have to be motivated by his love and desire to be close to Almighty God. That's the design, divine presence brother is speaking about on Wednesday night. We also have to depend on the power and work of the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk with Almighty God. Those of us who walk with God, we have to display the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what the fruit is? Turn to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and look at what it says. And it doesn't say fruit, but it says fruit, meaning you got to have all. You may say, Sister Renee, I'm not there. I say, get there. Oh, because you need the fruit. Why? Because if you don't have the fruit, the scriptures prior to that let you know that you must have envy and strife, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, things that are not of God. But look at what he told us to have here. He said, but in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You may say, how can we have peace? Oh, we got a peace in God. Long suffering. Can you suffer long with some folks? I know when I was out in the world, I couldn't. But now that I'm serving Almighty God, I can suffer long with people. He said, gentleness. Are we gentle? Are we good? Goodness. See, there's goodness in serving the Lord. Faith,
You think about it. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then all look at this meekness. Oh, we've got to be meek and humble, saints of God. He went on temperance. Against such there is no law. Then he went and said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Have you crucified the flesh? Yeah, we live in it, but we can crucify it. We don't have to run after it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise God. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, we can't envy one another. We all serve God. God's blessing each and every one of us. He may not bless you the same way he blesses me, but we're all blessed. Amen?
Amen.
There may be something I'm asking God for, and God sends out that blessing to me that you may not have asked for. There may be something else that you're asking God to bless you for, and God's not going to bless me with. But we all are one family of God. Praise our God, and our God is able. He's able to bless you as well as he blesses me, and he can bless someone else all in another part of this world. Praise God. See, as saints of God, we live in contrast to the ways of the world that is surrounding you and I. In Acts, the 4th chapter, when Peter and John were arrested, and you Bible students know this story, and brought before the authorities for preaching the gospel, the authorities took note of the men's boldness. Look at what it says there in Acts, that 4th chapter, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, they thought that these men were uneducated. They thought that they were illiterate. However, you don't have to be educated to serve Jesus Christ, just holy and righteous. That's all he's asking for. Nicodemus was Israel's teacher, yet he did not understand even the basics of spiritual life or spiritual living. There's nothing wrong with having an education. However, education does not make one whole. Education in and of itself does nothing to combat ungodliness. But true faith and true belief in Jesus Christ does. The 119th division of Psalms, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. As we walk with God, others will be able to recognize that we have been with Jesus. Do they recognize that? Do they see that you've been with Jesus? Is your light shining? So that mankind can see your good works, which is glorifying our Father, which is in heaven. Saints of God, is not only on Sunday morning, but it's every day of the week. When we're out there in the marketplace, wherever we might be, when we're at the doctor's office, when we're in the mall, when we may be driving in our cars up and down the street, people have to see that we believe we belong to Jesus Christ. When we're out mowing our grass and working in the yard, doing lawn work, whatever we do all things in decency and in order. And people have to see that we've been with Jesus. Can they see that? They're seeing so much going on, and they're hearing about so much in many of these so-called churches. I was reading an article the other day. It was a big church before COVID. They had 16,000 members. I thought to myself, wow, 16,000 members. But then when COVID hit and a lot of things started happening, the gentleman that was there, they wanted them to have the president to come. At that time, it was President Trump. They wanted him to come. And the pastor said, you know, for him to come, and they wanted him to pray. They said they brought him in to service while the service was going on. And the gentleman made a statement that the pastor said, I want you to understand, just because I'm praying for him does not mean that I condone the things or I'm going to vote for him or say for you to vote for them. Well, some took offense to that. Now the church has dwindled down and now they want him out. They don't no longer want him to be the pastor. Now they're down to 2,500 members, 2,500.
And so now they're having a big thing to vote him out because of all the conspiracy theories and all the things that are going on. Saints of God, that's why we've got to know how and why we serve Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is not because of me, but it's because you believe in what thus saith the Lord, that you have read this word of God, and Jesus Christ has, and the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart and has shown you the things of Almighty God, that you're able to live for the Lord and that you can run this life that God has set before us, looking forward to your eternal home in heaven. Not about Sister Renee, not about Elder Wilbert or anyone else that used to stand in the pulpit, but it's about having a personal relationship with Almighty God. That's why he tells us in the word of God to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That it means that we've got to work out with Almighty God. Don't misunderstand what the Holy Spirit is saying. Everybody has to come the same way. And that way is through rebirth. And that way is through repentance and asking forgiveness of sin. But you've got to work out with Almighty God, because there's some sins in your life that were not in mine. And there's some that were in my life that were not in yours, and I've got to get down to the Almighty God and business about that, so God would, for God to have forgiven me of those sins. Praise our God. You see, true discipleship will cost us something. When we're walking with Almighty God, I say to the lost this afternoon, the gospel of Christ has the power to save you, has the power to keep you. But only if you will make your salvation more important than anything else in this world. How many of us have found that to be so? Turn to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said these words in the 14th chapter, verse 33. Praise our God. Oh, I thank God that his word was left on record. We can go through the word of God, and we don't have to stay on one script, but we can go and reference throughout the word. And look at what Jesus said here in Luke 14, verse 33. He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. These are the words of Jesus. He's telling you and I, we've got to leave all to be able to serve him. He went on to say, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, Wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. True discipleship will cost us everything. Everything we have will be placed on the altar of sacrifice. Now that we're saved, got to find that peace that cannot be understood by the world in which we live right now. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a peace within our soul. We sang that song, Wonderful Peace, coming down from the Father above. Do you have that wonderful peace this afternoon? Do you have that peace within your soul? Or does that world have you all up in a turmoil right now by all the things that are going on? You see, oftentimes you hear people say, how can you have peace in a world that's going through so much? I say you have to trust in Jesus Christ. And the things of the world, as the psalm says, will grow strangely dim. Praise our God. You see, I can't change the world. I can't change the way of the world. I can't change the things that are going on. But what I can do is share with them the one who can. And true discipleship will fulfill that when you come to Jesus Christ and have him in your life. God will give your life a purpose. And I found that to be so. There's a purpose for us being here, saints of God. There's a purpose for why we live the way we live. Why? It's so that we can draw others to Jesus Christ, so that others will see Jesus Christ in our lives. Oh, there's a purpose behind our Wednesday night Bible study. There was a purpose when God gave it to Brother Byron.
Amen.
And as we continue, and we were looking in the Word of God on Wednesday night and talking about God's divine presence for us, we could see when you get into those pages and to those scriptures that Brother was bringing forth and the comments that were being made, you can see how God has fulfilled that divine purpose in us, our presence in us. He has been with us. He is guiding and protecting us. You think about it, saints of God, the things that are going on in our lives today. God's divine presence is with us. Do you believe that this afternoon? Do you believe he's with us right now? Do you believe he's able to save souls? Oh, our salvation cost us nothing, but being a disciple has cost us everything. We've got to give up all these things to serve Almighty God. If we want to spend eternity in heaven when we leave this old world, we will have to forsake all to run on this race for Almighty God. You see, no sinner's prayer or no pledge card or no altar call Amen. Can replace the gospel message of Amen. Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. The lifting up of Jesus on the cross is what draws our heart to him. Oh, saints of God, and to all that are listening in this afternoon, I know that many of these messages the Spirit of the Lord has given me that many in our day and time would not like to hear. The secular world doesn't want to hear these messages about how you draw close to God. They don't want to hear a message is your anchor holding in the Lord. They don't want to hear a message about are you building on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But we read in Ezekiel 33 last Lord's Day when it told the ministry what the ministry was responsible for. See, when you love the Lord, you can say as the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel this afternoon? Then can't say these words that Paul said in the word of God. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you believe that this afternoon? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at what Paul said here to the saints there at Corinth, starting with verse 1. He said, moreover, brethren, he said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand. Oh, Paul was letting them know that I preached the gospel to you and now you are standing on it. You receive what he has said in the word of God. He went on to say, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Paul was letting them know, you've got to stay and keep in your mind, in memory, how that you were saved. And that salvation came through the word of God. He didn't want the Corinthians to be like the saints there at Galatia, who had been bewitched after Paul had preached to them the word of God. But Paul wanted them to know, to keep in memory what Paul had preached to them, unless you have believed in vain. He went on to say, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Do you believe Christ was our substitution for our sins this afternoon? He went on to say, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. You see, we're living in a time right now where many don't want to accept Christ dying for mankind's sin. They want to say, look at all these other religions. How come you won't accept them? Well, Christ Jesus is the only one that died for us. Amen. He's the only one Amen. That has arisen. Praise our God. He's the only one that is the mediator between God and man. He is the only one that is right now sitting on the right-hand throne of God. Buddha hasn't sat nowhere. He hasn't died for no man's sin. But my Bible tells me, but God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe Amen. In Jesus?
Amen.
Praise our God. Praise God. Yes, he's worthy. Even the gospel message or the good news that one can be saved is meant to benefit all mankind. However, we know that the gospel only benefits
if it's those who receive it, those who believe it, those who will embrace it. Oh, saints of God, just like the Corinthian saints, if we do not continue to hold fast to the things which we have been taught, if we don't continue to build upon the rock of our salvation, one day we might find ourselves letting go of this precious gospel and running to and fro like we're seeing going on in the world today. Running after man's teaching, trying what the world would say to find ourselves. See, when you're a child of God, you find yourself in Jesus.
Thank you.
He's the one. Oh, Paul warned in another passage of scripture. In 2 Timothy, turn with me there for a moment. He said, having itchy ears. Here in this passage, Paul was charging Timothy. He's charging him to do the work of the ministry. Verse 1 here of 2 Timothy 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. He went on to say, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, he said, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. Are we in that time right now? The world is despising the word of God. The word of God is being despised. People don't want, they don't want to endure sound doctrine. They'll come up on the parking lot and they'll say to you and I, oh, Wayne Avenue is where it all started. Oh, the saints here at Wayne Avenue are holy. Well, that doesn't make us get all excited, saints of God, because the Bible tells you to be ye holy, for I am holy. Everyone that professes to be saved is supposed to be holy and righteous in the eyes of Almighty God. He went on to say there, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having what? Itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. See, if one lets go of the gospel, all their previous beliefs that they had won't do them any good. It was as if they had believed in vain. That's what Paul was saying back in Corinthians. That is why we've got to be careful, saints of God. That is why I've got to be careful myself too, saints of God, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The word of God says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, praise our God. I believe that those of us that teach the word of God have a great responsibility. We must be true to the actual doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't add to, as we learned in our Sunday school lesson this morning, don't add to, Sister had the students downstairs reading it. We don't add to, we don't take away. Oh, but we leave God's word as it is. Praise our God. It's not about you hearing me preach the word of God, but it's about you hearing the preaching of the eternal word of God and believing what thus saith the Lord. This is how the gospel message is preached and given to one generation after another. Right. Saints of God, we've got to share this with our children, our grandchildren. We've got to let them know that there's a better way than what they are seeing in our world today. We've got to let them know they've got to come to God and give their lives to him and live for Almighty God. That Jesus Christ, yes, he is the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself. He is what we're building upon in the church of God. Praise our God. If you try to build any other way, you're going to build up wrong. But if we build the way of the word of God, we will correctly build as God has said for us to do in the word of God. You see, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave his life on the cross. Praise our God, to redeem us as his bride. The apostles and prophets, they took that message to their generations,
They began to build. There's one scripture that said they turned the world upside down. Yes. Praise our God. Are we turning the world upside down? We might not be able to turn the world, but maybe we need to start with some of our family members to turn them on to the word of God. And when they were adding on to the church, they didn't add on crooked. But they came, stayed in the straight and narrow way. They stayed in the strong way of what thus saith the Lord. Nowadays, we've got to mold it and shape it so that we can reach certain people. And we've got to, and that's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
Jesus said,
Amen.
If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Praise our God. Look at what he says here in Isaiah 28. See, that's why there can't be no blemishes or no spots in the church. It's got to be a perfect structure. He says there in Isaiah 28, verse 16, therefore saith the Lord God, he said, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, praise our God,
praise
a God. Precious cornerstone. Oh, he didn't stop there. He said, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Praise God. If you believe, don't wait around. Come on. Come on to the family of God.
Amen.
1 Peter 2, verse 7. Look at what it says there. He says in 1 Peter Chapter 2, verse 7, he said, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto as they were appointed. Oh, praise our God. But look what he said, but you, ye, are a chosen generation. Put your name there. I am a chosen generation. He went on to say, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who has called you what? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. But he didn't stop there. He said, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Praise our God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Are we now the people of God? Praise our God. So as the people of God, as we build upon this foundation, let us keep ourselves pure and continue telling the next generation about the Lord Jesus Christ. God is always building. He's always adding. Acts 2, verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We may not see any stones added to the temple here today, but somewhere the Lord has added stones to the family of God. That is why we must never become discouraged in our work for Almighty God. We are told these words in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, the success of the church is not in our hands. It is, but it's in God's hands.
Amen.
We must trust God. God is able to build, have built, and he's able to sustain this church of God as long as we stay in the hands of Almighty God. We are built upon the solid truth of God's eternal word. Jesus let us know that in Matthew, the 16th chapter, when he was speaking to the disciples about whom do men say that he was. He said in verse 18 of that 16th chapter of Matthew, he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock, he said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church of God was not built upon Peter. Yes, God used Peter greatly in the foundation of the church. It was Peter who first proclaimed the gospel on the day of Pentecost. We all read about it. If you haven't, go back to Acts, the 2nd chapter, and read. Peter was also the first to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But the rock is Jesus Christ himself. He was not only the rock in the New Testament, but he was also the rock in the Old Testament.
Yes,
in your leisure, I ask you to read 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter.
and start reading there and let he explains to you about the rock of Jesus Christ. You see, when the Lord saved our souls, he placed us on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints of God, we were not worthy. When you think about our condition and where we were, where we stood with God, in Ephesians, the second chapter, it lets us know that in verse 1 of that scripture, he said, you have he quickened who were dead. See, we were dead in trespasses and sin. God could have cut us off. God could have told us, could have left us the condition in which we were in. But we're told there in verse 4 out of that scripture reading, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, the hymnal says, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad.
Yes.
So glad he did.
Amen.
He goes on to say, where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if Jesus didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. Are you glad this afternoon that Jesus sacrificed his life for you? Well, I don't understand why we go through all the things we go through. I don't understand how some of the things that happen, but I don't have all the answers. But I know one thing. I know one who does, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the one. He paid the price to redeem us back to Almighty God. When he redeemed us, he gutted out that old man and that old woman, and he made us a new man in Christ Jesus. And he is making us to fit into the kingdom of heaven by molding and shaping us into the image of his dear children. That's what we are told in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 29. It lets us know that God had predestined us to be conformed or shaped into the image of Christ. Paul in Romans, the 12th chapter, we know it well in verse 1. When Paul said there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, he told us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which was a reasonable service. He went on to say, and be not conformed to this world. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we were transformed, we were transformed by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and he's transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ, that we will look, we will be like Jesus, we will act like Jesus did when he was upon the earth. No, we don't have the same glory as Jesus did, but saints of God, we've got the desire to be like Jesus, and how God, so God can be glorified through you and I. Praise our God. Oh, we have to have a likeness of Christ, which means we have to exhibit his humility and self-giving and all of his obedience. That is in our daily living. That's why you and I have been transformed. We are no longer that old man, but we are now a new man in Christ Jesus. And look at what the word of God says in Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, the chipping away process, it isn't a pleasant one, but it's a necessary one. So we can get all that dross away from us, saints of God, so that we can live for Almighty God. Praise be to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the Spirit. Thank God for how he has sacrificed his life for you and I, and that we are what we are today because of that. We read on Wednesday night, 1 Corinthians 6. For those who were with us, Brother dived into the scripture a lot on Wednesday night. I shared with Brother Tony that was in the message. The brother told us about being the temple of God, and how this temple ought to be, how we ought to be for serving Almighty God, and how God expects us
to live in this temple. Our temples are to be holy, and this body is the temple of God, where the Spirit of God is indwelling with us. That means we have to take care of ourselves spiritually, mentally, physically. Why? Because when we say we are the temple of God, we are saying that God is living in us. You think about it, God doesn't just exist in heaven. His Spirit actually is living in us. And it's showing us the things that we need to do. This is why we don't treat God's temple any old way, but we treat his temple with respect. We don't just wear any old thing, and we don't go out and just mar up our bodies like the world. Yes, we may have some scars from our old life. However, as a new man or woman in Christ Jesus, we don't have to go out and get a tattoo of a Bible or Jesus on our arms or anywhere else. Living a life for Jesus will show. We don't have to have a medallion on our neck to say, I serve Almighty God. But we've just got to live the life. Why? Because we are told in the 149th division of Psalms, verse 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. God doesn't need a makeup artist.
Amen.
To beautify his people.
Amen.
No, he beautifies us through salvation in him. Praise our God.
Amen.
When we think about being a temple of God, it should motivate us to be careful about what we're putting on this temple, how we are looking. You have to remember what Jesus' words were. We are the salt of the earth. Praise our God. And we are the light. We're building on the foundation of Almighty God. Truly thank God for his word. I thank God for the message of building. Are we building on the rock? Christ Jesus. You see, saints of God, in our world today, people are building on a lot of things, and we're coming to a close. Just hang in, saints. It's light of the world. You've got to build upon a strong foundation. We're not exempt from storms of life. People are dying all around us. People are dying in our family. Things are happening in our lives. We heard of some things that happened. Sister Carol, Sister Francine, Brother Byrene shared about the things that God took him through when he went through with his cancer. We thank God he brought him through. Then on Wednesday night, our world was rocked again when we heard from Sister Smith. And she shared with us that she has cancer. That tells us we're not exempt from anything. But one thing we got to know, when the wind waves come, we've got to be prepared for those storms. It's a choice we can make that can enable us to weather the storms of life. Jesus warns us to build our lives on a strong foundation. And, you know, saints of God, my tears are tears of joy because Sister Smith and I are really close. I'm close to all the saints, but Sister Smith and, you know, is one of my little buds. But I just thank God for her. But I know my God is able. I'm not going to doubt him.
Amen.
Sister Smith said, tell me, don't doubt him. He's able. So Smith is joyful, and I'm going to be joyful too. Our God's going to bring her through. Amen? Well, let's turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus warns us to build our lives on a strong foundation. As I said, we're coming to a close. Look at what he says in verse 24 of this scripture reading. Here Jesus is comparing two architects or two men in two choices. One man chooses to build his house on a strong foundation of rock. The other man chooses to build a house on the shifting foundation of sand. You see, saints of God, this is what's happening in our world today. Jesus has laid the foundation for us to build on. And many are trying to find another way to lay upon this foundation. Paul, in another scripture text, in our scripture reading this morning, he let us know that for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
You see, the problem that exists today is that there are many people who profess to know that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Paul also in another scripture, we're going to stay here in Matthew, but Paul in another scripture told us that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. If you love Almighty God, know that there's power in knowing Jesus Christ, knowing that you just don't want to be a hearer of the word, but you want to be a doer of what thus saith the Lord. But look at verse 24 of what Jesus says here. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings, excuse me, of mine, my Bible's fading out here, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. He went on to say, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came. He went on to say there, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, there's only two things between these two men, and it's the word do. He that doeth. We said there, the one that doeth build his house upon the rock, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. But before that, when he said in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him. See, you've got to do what God has said you to do. You've got to build upon the true foundation of Almighty God. You may say to me, oh, Sister Renee, on the wise master builder, he had to dig deep. He had to dig in rock. There was a lot of extra work. Well, you know, there's a lot of extra work in living for Almighty God, and that is getting into the word of God and knowing where you stand with God. You can't just slide out through a salvation as some people slide through school. No, you've got to get in and study to know where you stand with Almighty God. That's why he said in the word of God to search the scriptures. For in them you think ye have eternal life, they are they which testify of me. But if you're going to be careless about it and try to build in a way that you're going to use the things that the foolish man used, look at what he says in verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Where are you building your house this afternoon? Is it on the rock of Jesus Christ, or is it upon the stinking sand? That's a choice we've got to make. We've got a choice to make this afternoon. Either we're going to build on Jesus Christ, or we're going to build on the sinking sand. And all else will tell in the word of God. If you build upon that sinking sand, you know where it's going to end up. But when you build on Jesus, you know you have an eternal home in heaven. You know that you will go to live with him throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. In number 14 chapter, Moses, after the children of Israel had murmured about the spies' report in chapter 13, Moses was there speaking to Almighty God. Numbers 14 and verse 11. You see, God has left his word on record. And God wants you and I to live according to the word of God. If we profess to be saved, we've got to live saved. When we say we love the Lord, we've got to live for the Lord. We don't want to bring a reproach upon the name of God. We don't want to be reproached upon the things of Almighty God. So when we say that we love the Lord, and Jesus is first in my life, claiming to be children of God, we can't walk around and say, I've got the I can't help it. Because Jesus has already told us in the word of God what we have to do. But look at what God said to the children of Israel during their time of journey when they failed to recognize God as who God was. He says there in Numbers 14, chapter verse 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? You see, sin always brings a reproach upon the name of God. And it is not a glamorous thing to have a sinful life and turn around and say, I live for Almighty God, because you're bringing a reproach on God. You know, there are many in our day and time, and we've said it in a prior message. They talk about David, and when David and Bathsheba, when David sinned with her, you know, our world has glamorized it. We said it in a message, had glamorized this relationship, but this relationship was nothing glamorous to Almighty God. It was deception, adultery, sin, murder. It wasn't a beautiful love story, but it was a story that went against Almighty God. And I say to you in your leisure, I ask you to read in 2 Samuel about it. But there was one thing in 2 Samuel, this 11th chapter, verse 27. When David sinned with Bathsheba, it says these words, but the thing that David done displeased the Lord. And in 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, it says that David's sin had given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Yes. When we dishonor God by unrighteous living, we bring contempt to God's name. And we're not building on the foundation of Christ Jesus. You see, as a child of God, we should never want to do anything that will steal the glory from Almighty God. Because we are told in Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then in another scripture, we're told, whatsoever therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Praise our God. You see, our failure to honor God does not diminish who God is. And our rejection of truth does not negate truthfulness. God is infinitely good and glorious and honorable, regardless of our actions or our behavior. But saints of God, I want my actions to be so that when this life is over, there's no guessing game of where I'm going, that I've built my life on Christ Jesus, and I've done it day by day. How about you?
Praise.
See, none of us in this life, I'll wait till the storms come, then I'll build my foundation. No, we got to be prepared for the storms of life. The storms of life are going to happen, and the storms of life are going to come. But we've got to make sure how we're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in that one passage of scripture, he was letting us know that there were two foundations. One stood and one fell, giving us a choice. Which will we build on? We're coming to a close. It wasn't meant as a threat. Jesus didn't threaten them, but it was meant as a warning. Saints of God, when I was preparing this message, the Lord reminded me of September 11, 2001. 2,977 souls died on that day. They had no warning. No one told them to run to safety. No one warned them that the Twin Towers were going to be hit by planes. But in love, Jesus is warning us today. I asked you in your leisure to read a story in the Word of God. Many of you may already know about the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11th chapter. The people were doing what seemed best for themselves, and not what God had commanded. But I want you to look at verse 2, just for a second. What the Word of God says. Let's start with verse 1. He said, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there.
And they said one to another, go to let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. You let us. There's no God in any of this. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. You see, unity is good when it's done for Almighty God's purpose. However, when it's done to make a name for oneself, it is destructive. God will confuse and divide people's plans so that they don't overstep God's will. You see, there's only one foundation to be built upon. That is strong enough to hold us through the storms of life. When you build against God's will, look at what happened to them in verse 7. He said, let us go down there. Confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. All but they were confounded, meaning that they were confused. See, they united against God, and they united to do sinful things. But it went against Almighty God. Because they were not building that tower according to what God had said. So saints, this afternoon, when we build our lives on Christ Jesus, we're building a life that will stand. Let us hear his warning and not be hearers of his word only. But let's make every effort to be doers of his word and build our lives on Christ Jesus. God bless you is my prayer.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank God for his word. Are you building on the rock? Are you building on the rock? And that text, the scripture that Pastor Jacob used for the text was that verse 10 of that third chapter of 1 Corinthians. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. When we're called by, we profess to be the Lord's. We have to take heed how we build thereupon. Are we building according to his word? Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the word. There could be no conflict between the two. The word is already given. It's already settled. I was thinking even when people in a natural sense, people are building houses or even renovating houses, and things have to be built according to the code. And then inspection is made even before the building is finished. Inspection is made, and if it's not according to the code, they have to tear down what's there and rebuild. God's word, the word of Jesus, is the code. And the word judges us. And so we have to, according to the line and according to the plummet.
That's right.
We're judged according to God's word, not man's ideas or opinions or how man thinks that it ought to be, but according to God's word. So if we're the way that we're living has to be according to God's word.
Amen.
Not according to what the world says, because the world will tolerate anything.
Amen.
And if there's something in our lives that's not according to the code, Jesus' word, the according to the word of God, then that has to be torn out. That has to be taken away. We can't build on to something that's crooked and expect for it to stand. And that's why the word of God will reprove us and correct us,
yes.
Purge us.
Amen.
From those things that are not like God, those things that are not according to the word of God, so that we can build on that foundation rightly.
Amen.
The way that we live and how that we live to glorify God is according to God's word and will. Because as Pastor said, otherwise it brings a reproach. If someone is building a physical house and they start to build and things aren't lined up and then the house is going up crooked, people that drive by will laugh at it, will mock it. If we belong to the Lord and we don't live according to his word, according to his commandments, according to the foundation that's already been laid, then others will look at our lives and then we bring a reproach on the cause of God. And there are people today who've gone away thinking, oh, well, there's nothing to living for God. Those people over there, that one right there claim they belong to God, and I've heard them curse. I've seen them drinking. I've seen them doing this, that, the other. They're even worse than I am, and I'm not claiming anything. When we say that we are the Lord, we have to be his children indeed.
Amen.
Amen. I'm building on the rock, the solid rock. Amen. Shall we stand? Number 138 in the evening light. Amen. Are you building on the rock? Number 138 in the evening light. Hymnal. 138. I'll follow Jesus. Earlier, the choir sang, Jesus has full control. And when we sing this song, let us sing with the spirit and with the understanding. Understand what it is that we're singing, what it is that we are promising.
Amen. I'll follow Jesus here. I'll never, never fear those Satan's tempting powers assail. And though I've missed his score, I'll trust him evermore. For through his grace I shall prevail. I'll follow.
Follow Jesus all the way. I'll follow to
third verse. So that's a promise. It says, I'll follow all the way. I'll never, never stray. That's saying you're building on the rock. If you sing that, be sure that you mean that. I'll never, never stray. This world no more can win my love, because that is what the devil is trying to do. The devil is trying to woo and win the hearts of those who say that they've left all the world to follow Jesus. It says, I've left it all behind. Pastor Jenkins preached, how do we walk? How do we talk? What do we wear? What is our mind stayed on? Have we left all the world to follow Jesus? It says, I've left it all behind, more lasting joys to find. There is joy in the Lord, but we've got to be sure that we're building on the right foundation. It has to be on the rock and not the sinking sand. All that this world will try to woo us with is sinking sand. And it will not endure. It says, my treasures all are stored above. Amen. Pastor gave the scripture again, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. We have to be sure that our treasures are in heaven and not on this earth. Amen. Is there one? Is there one who has a need? Be sure that if you say that you're the Lord's, that you get established in that solid rock. Be sure. That rock is Jesus. Be sure that we're established in Jesus. Amen. And never have a desire to.
Amen.
Never have a desire to. Don't think of turning back. Don't even think about it.
Amen.
Don't even give it a consideration.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. Amen. Don't even have a desire. It says, this world no more can win my love. I've left it all behind. Be sure that it's behind. Be sure that it's behind.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have no rearview mirror.
Amen.
Where you're looking at it longingly.
That's right.
Amen. Is there anyone who doesn't know the Lord who will just say, even pray for me? Amen, amen, amen. Is there anyone who just wants to be stronger in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Because I want to follow Jesus all the way. That chorus says, to the home of everlasting day. And that's not here. That's hereafter. When Jesus comes again, I want him to come for me. Praise our God. Amen. Sing that last verse.
I'll follow on until the crown is won and heaven's gates unfold to me. Then with my harp in hand, I'll join that happy band and praise him through eternity.
Praise God!
I'll follow. I'll follow to the
of everlasting day.
Amen. You understand it will be everlasting day for those who follow. But it will be eternal darkness for those who don't. Amen. Let's make our calling and election sure with God. Amen. Thank God. We saw the upraised hands. So we'll look to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your eternal word. We thank you, dear God, because we know, Lord, that you have given us truth, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear Father, for we know, Lord, that your truth is eternal, dear God, and it does not depend upon circumstance. It does not depend on the condition of the world. It does not depend upon the different winds of doctrine that men have. It does not depend upon what's fashionable now, dear God. But, Lord, we know, Lord, that your truth is eternal and shall ever stand. And we know, Lord, that your truth is binding upon all of us, dear God. Lord, whether for those who believe and those who choose to reject it, Lord, your word is still binding and will judge us all at the last day. So, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your eternal word today. We thank you, dear Father, for telling us, dear God, what we must do, dear Father, in order to be pleasing in your sight. You are telling us, dear Lord, what we must do, Lord, to be established, dear Father, in your word, that we may be able to meet you in peace at that last day. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to measure to your eternal word, dear Father. Help us, dear God, to measure to all of your word, dear God. Help us, Lord, to be established, dear Father. Lord, if there's anything, dear God, in our lives, dear Father, that needs purging, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Father, to purge out that, dear God, which is not pleasing to thee, dear God. Lord, that we may be, Lord, whole and entire, lacking nothing, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to continue, dear Father, to study your word. Help us, Lord, to do the readings, dear God, that were given to us in the message. Help us, dear Father, to be obedient, Lord, dear Father, to all that your word calls for us to do, dear God. Lord, help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that we cannot please you, dear Father, except that we obey your eternal word. We thank you, Lord, for your word preached, dear Father. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing and touching and strengthening Pastor Jenkins today, dear God, for giving her the strength, dear God, to deliver her own soul, dear God, and to preach your word to us, Lord, that we might be delivered, dear God, in thee. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Father, Lord, to stand in these last and evil days. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you'd remember each upraised hand. Truly, Lord, we don't want to be castaways. Lord, we don't want to be found short, dear God, in any way, dear God, in obeying and living, dear Father, according to your eternal word. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, to take a stand for righteousness and stay there, dear God, to be established in thee, dear God, and not to waver, dear God, not to become weak. Lord, never to look back, dear God,
Amen.
But to press toward the mark for the prize and the high calling of God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bless each one. And Lord, if there are those, Lord, who heard your word today and, dear Father, are as yet unsaved, oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, that your spirit would continue to strive with them, dear God. Lord, that they may be found, dear God, of thee. Lord, that they would come to your word, dear God, forsaking, dear God, the old life, realizing, dear God, that you have newness of life, Lord, to offer to them. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to their hearts, dear God. Father, if it be possible, Lord, extend your mercy, dear Father, to them, that they may be saved and not lost. Have your way, dear God. Lord, those, dear Father, who are going through something, dear God, even as Pastor Jenkins prayed at the beginning of service and preached, dear God, Lord, there are things that we're going to have to go through in this life, dear Father. And, Lord, it may be persecutions. Father, it may be accusations, dear Father. Lord, it may be afflictions, but whatever it may be, dear God. Lord, we know, dear God, that you are greater, dear Father, for you said in your word, dear God, that you call these light afflictions, dear God, And we know, Lord, that Jesus went through so much for us. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, even as Brother Byron prayed, dear Father, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give us the grace to go through, because we know that our Savior, our Jesus, Lord, suffered and died and was persecuted and was defamed and was reproached and suffered, dear God, so many things. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, but he suffered it all for us that we might be saved, that we might be righteous. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, Father, whatever it is, Lord, that you have us to go through, dear God. Lord, whatever furnace of affliction, dear God, that you have appointed for each and every one of us, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would give us the grace to go through. Give us the faith, Lord, to hold on, dear God, knowing, dear God, that beyond it, on the other side of it, dear God, Lord, you have a crown held out and waiting for us. Lord, help us, dear God, to be true. Give us the strength, dear God. Help us, Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. And, Lord, we'll give you glory and praise. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Thank God for his word. Amen. Sister Kiba. Amen. 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 Praise God. Just keep pressing, Sister Kiba. Just keep pressing. We're praying for you. Praying, truly praying. Amen. Thank God. Is there anyone else who would like to express themselves? Sister Lawrence. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So glad to see you, Sister Lawrenceine, and to know that God has touched you. Same God that can touch our bodies, and so that we can see it might be an ache or pain. Same God that can touch our bodies, can touch our minds. He can touch our spirits. And he can strengthen our hearts. Thank God. Amen. And the Lord can encourage us. And the Lord can teach us to encourage ourselves, to get into his word and read. And the Spirit of God is able to help us to open to a scripture that can be just exactly what we need on that particular day to strengthen us and to help us. Amen. Thank God for his faithfulness. Sister Holmes. Amen. 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 Yes. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. As you said, the work thy soul is satisfied. Amen. She said, the word has not changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus is the word. And so, amen. Amen. Sister Melita. June Webb, Sister June Webb, yes. Well, praise, wow, praise God. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll pray for Sister June Webb. Pray that the Lord will, that she will be here. The Lord will make a way, because we understand that what the devil does when he'll try to put in a roadblock. But amen. Thank God. So it's good to hear of her. Thank you, Sister Melita, for letting us know that. Amen. Sister Carol.
Amen. We
never know what's going to
happen one day. You know,
maybe tomorrow. You never know. But God is good all the time. Yes. Amen. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, that's what he does.
Amen.
Amen.
Love and offer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's going to take care of you. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And we have been, from the time that we heard of it, we've been praying. As a matter of fact, it was last Sunday when you said you were going to be going to the doctor. At that time, we didn't know. We've been praying since then. We'll not stop praying. Amen. God is able. God is never fails. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Man, minds are clear. Just a few announcements for Sunday, July 25th. So if it be the Lord's will, the Lord lets us see next Lord's Day, it will be August the 1st. Always pray one for another during the week. 1 Samuel 12:23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Choir will meet over here briefly after service, right? Choir members. Food pantry service, Lord willing, will be Saturday, August 28th, 8 a.m. Please pray for this work. And Pastor Jenkins and I were talking about it even before Sunday school this morning, and then between Sunday morning service, Brother Jackson and I were talking about it, and Brother Jackson said was exactly what Sister Jenkins had said. Well, the Lord is working. The Lord is telling us what to do and how to do. So please pray for this work. The canister is always available for contributions toward the November turkey giveaway to the community. Prayer meeting and Bible study will be Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. by phone. Amen. And please continue to lift Brother Byron up in prayer. We thank God for him. Yes. And don't forget what to do with your phones. Pray for the phones. God is able. There's bigger, big things, small things. Someone who hasn't known the blessings of the Lord might say, well, you praying for phones? Yes. Yes. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. The Lord is interested in everything that concerns us.
Amen.
And the Lord is able to clear those phones because he knows that we want to study his word together. And we want to hear all of it. So pray for the phones as well. Yes. We understand that COVID has been around for over a year now, of course. And then the vaccine has come out, and many of us have received the vaccine shots. There's some who have not. With this new variant that's out, this Delta variant, which they say is more contagious than the first one of the original virus. So much that even there are people who have been vaccinated who are contracting the virus. It's not, they may not have to go to the hospital, and it hasn't been fatal for majority of those who have been vaccinated. But it is a very active virus. And so because of that, we would like to say for those who are here who have not been vaccinated, we would like for those who have not been vaccinated to go back to the way that we were doing it before, anyway, before vaccine. When we get up and move about, and we were sitting down, still don't wear a mask. But if you get up to move about or go to the restroom or go to move about or for offering, things like that, please wear your mask. And the children, yes, in particular. Young people and children who have not been vaccinated. And we understand that for some of them, anyone below the age of 12 cannot be vaccinated yet because they have not cleared it that way. So we would ask. And for those who have been vaccinated, if you feel to wear your mask as you move around through, that's fine too, because we don't want to stigmatize anyone who has not been vaccinated. We don't want anyone to feel badly, but we do want to try to keep those well that we can, to make sure, because even if and those who have not been vaccinated are in more jeopardy as far as it being, if they were to contract the virus, for it to be more serious complications with it. So we want everyone to be well. We know it's God's will that we be able to be well and to come together. So that's what we would like to do.
Did I leave anything out?
Yes. And that's, we're thinking that with the food pantry, we're thinking about the adjustment for that, in that we will have to get here early, but we're going to, and we pray for the weather to be able to set up out on the parking lot or out like in front of the garage, and maybe we'll have to take the transport the foods and things out to the garage, and then maybe even the day before get out there and then set up the tables out there and then have them come around out there rather than the inside area where this is a smaller area, but to perhaps try to do it outside and the message as well. All right. Because it's not going away. The virus is not going away, and so the Lord gives wisdom, and so I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Brother Jackson was on Brother Jackson's mind, and we came in, and Sister Jenkins, we read out at the door, and she was talking about it too, and so we thank God. The Lord will give us wisdom as to how to do His work. Need to pray for the food pantry.
We thank God for our drivers. Thank them. Thank God for his many, many blessings. We thank God that he blessed Sister Millicent to be able to go out and pick up Brother Mann safely. We just thank God for that. And we were lifting up Brother Pierre on last Lord's Day for driving this week. And so please pray for Sister Millicent and Brother Mann for next Lord's Day, if it be the Lord's will, for driving the bus. Olivia, July 30th, will turn 5 years old. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes, yes. Amen. Our thought for today. I am daily writing the record by which I will be judged. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. He has control, doesn't he? Amen. Amen. All minds are clear. Shall we stand? Sister Smith, would you dismiss us with prayer, please? Thank the Lord.